السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. Have you not considered how God sets forth a parable? A good word is a good tree, its roots firm and its branches in the sky. It brings forth fruit in every season by the leave of its Lord. God sets forth parables for humankind that they may remember. Amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. One of the striking features of the Holy Quran is the stories and the parables that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to us. We find that the Quran, throughout the Quran scattered, are various stories and are various examples and parables that God has provided to us. And we know that one of the major reasons, one of the major objectives behind God's giving us these parables and stories in the Quran is for us to be able to draw out the lessons from these stories and to implement them in our lives. In the verse that I recited from Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And God sets forth parables for humankind that they remember. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. So that they hear these parables, they hear these examples, and they are able to remember. They do not fall into heedlessness or forgetfulness, but that they remember. In another verse from chapter 7, Allah says, فَقْصَصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. He tells the Prophet, O Prophet, relate to them the stories. Recount stories to the people, to your community. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So that they may ponder, they may think. They hear the story and they think about the lessons that can be drawn from this story. And so thus we find that the Quran gives us several examples of specific individuals and communities throughout history as examples for us so that we may extract lessons and learn, so that we are able to implement them in our lives. As our dear sister Arzu Yasai mentioned, when we read the Quran is not something that has just been revealed in a specific time and place, and only relevant for that time and place. But it is the Word of God which is constantly alive. And as such, the examples and the stories that are found in the Quran are pertinent to us today, just as they were pertinent back then, at the time that they were revealed, or at the time that they occurred. And so we find many examples in the Quran of righteous individuals and communities that God gives us as examples, as parables, stories for us to consider, to think about. And we find that in these various examples, despite the different contexts, despite the different levels and the different contexts of these examples and stories, we find that there is a common thread that God reminds us of in each and every case when these examples and these stories of previous prophets and individuals and communities are given, we see that all of them in common, what they had in common was that they were tested incessantly. All of them. God doesn't just give us an example of the prophets and messengers and, you know, about their lives and what they did and what they ate and who they married. But God shows us how each and every one of these prophets, how each and one, every one of these righteous individuals and communities at large, how they were constantly tested and tried. And we find that despite their differences, despite the various kinds and levels of trials, that there was also a range of contexts. These individuals, these examples, were tested in various ways, in various levels. Some were tested with their family members. Others were tested with health. Some were tested with money, issues of money, and so on and so forth. Each and every one of them was tested in a different way. And the Quran gives us several examples. If you recall earlier during the holy month of Ramadan, when I was discussing Surah Nuh and giving you the example of how the Quran discusses the case of Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Noah, we mentioned how the Quran talks about some of the tests, some of the challenges that Nuh faced. Nuh faced several challenges, various challenges that the Quran tells us. The Quran tells us that for 950 years, his community rejected his message. They would put their fingers in their ears and they would hide themselves. They would cover their heads and faces with their clothing so that they would not hear or see or have to speak to Nuh alayhi salam. The Quran tells us that Nuh was tested not only with the public at large, but he was tested with a wife and a son who also rejected his message. His wife, one of the closest people to him, she rejected his message. And in fact, the traditions tell us that she aided. She, in fact, when her husband would go out and teach and preach to the people, she would be amongst the first people who would go out and discourage the people from listening to Nuh alayhi salam. And the same goes for his son. His son also rejected the message. The Quran gives us the example of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, who was tested with illness, who had lost his health, everything. The tradition tells us it came to a point where Ayyub had to lie down in bed. He could not move anymore. He had lost his capacity to even sit or stand or to be able to eat by himself. That his wife, she would go out and she would work and she would bring home food and she would feed Ayyub alayhi salam with her own hands. He was not even able to eat by himself. That he had lost his property, his home, his lands, his farms. That he lost all of his children, the Quran tells us. Tested. One test, one trial after another. Allah gives us the example of Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Pharaoh. She was not a prophet, but the Quran considers her to be an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And God sets forth an example, a parable for the believers. The case of Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Pharaoh, who was a righteous woman. She was a pious woman, but God had tested her as being the wife of Pharaoh. Her husband was Pharaoh. She was tested with an evil husband, right? The Quran gives us examples of Maryam alayhi salam, Maryam ibnata Imran, the daughter of Imran, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, and how she was tested as well. Maryam grows up in a righteous environment. She is taken care of. She grows up basically in the mosque, praying, worshipping, devoting herself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she is known in this environment. And then Allah tests her. Allah tests her where she becomes the mother of Isa alayhi salam. She is pregnant, but not of natural means. She's not married. She has not been touched. The Quran tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests her with this major trial. The Quran says that when she gives birth, that when Maryam alayhi salam gives birth, she comes back to her village. And the people around her, they see her and they tell her, Maryam, what have you done? What is this that you have done? We know you to be a good person. You're a moral person. We know you to come from a good, decent family. How is it possible that you have committed this? And thus, she was tested, Maryam alayhi salam was tested with her honor, with her reputation. And this was a major test for Maryam alayhi salam. And the Quran gives us many other examples. And history gives us many other examples of individuals and communities who were tested in various ways. In the hadith attributed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I think we need to start serving coffee so that our salawats can be a little bit more lively. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. In the hadith, the Prophet says, مَا أُوذِيَ نَبِيٌ مِثْلَ مَا أُوذِيت. No prophet has been hurt and humiliated as I have. All of the prophets, they were rejected, they were hurt, they were humiliated, people attacked them. The Prophet says, no other prophet before me endured the kind of harassment and humiliation that I did. The Quran and history gives us the examples of the Imams and the companions. We take the example of an Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, whom we gather on the eve of the 15th of the month of Ramadan to celebrate his birth, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. If we read the history of the life and times of an Imam al-Hasan, we find that he was tested in various ways. That he was rejected and he faced consequences of rejection from not only external forces such as Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and, you know, his community and his people, but also from among his own followers, the Imam's own followers. Some of the traditions, they tell us that after the treaty that the Imam conducted with Muawiyah, after this, some of his own companions, they turned against him. Some of them, when they would see the Imam, they would call upon him, Ya Mudhill al-Mu'mineen, meaning, O humiliator of the believers. They would call upon their Imam with such a title. And so the Imam was tested even amongst his closest companions, those who purported to be his followers. And history gives us many more examples, brothers and sisters, of people who were tested. Today, we find ourselves also facing tests and challenges and trials. Each and every one of us. Everyone lives in this life and faces various difficulties, various challenges. Sometimes we find ourselves facing challenges in our relationships with others. For example, when it comes to the relationship of a husband and a wife, many times husbands find themselves being tried with certain types of wives, and wives find themselves being tried with certain types of husbands. You know, they say in the marriage, in the first year of a marriage, the husband usually speaks and the wife listens. In the second year, I'm not done yet. In the second year of the marriage, the wife speaks and the husband listens. In the third year of marriage, the husband and the wife both speak and the neighbors listen. But on a serious note, we find ourselves facing challenges. Sometimes we really face challenges with difficult spouses or difficult children or sometimes difficult parents or siblings. Sometimes we find that we have to end our relationships with others because they're not working. Not only are they not working, sometimes they are detrimental to our own health and prosperity. They are harmful. And so we find ourselves in this type of challenge. Sometimes we find ourselves struggling financially. Difficult for us to pay our mortgage or our bills or other financial commitments that we have. We know some people who struggle financially. We find sometimes that we struggle at work or at school. Many young people struggle at school. Nowadays, for those of you who have ever worked, you know, at a university, you've ever taught, whether as a faculty member or even as a teaching assistant, one of the first things that you're told nowadays is about how widespread depression is amongst undergraduate students. How undergraduate students are facing challenges. Many of them are depressed. Many of them struggle to keep up with their work. They're facing difficulties, an enormous amount of stress on their shoulders. These are challenges that we face. These are trials that we face. And so in many cases, we find ourselves challenged with various tests and trials. And many people are ready to give up or to ask question, why? Why is it me? Why am I struggling with a specific challenge? Why did God choose me to have a difficult wife or husband? Why did God choose me to struggle financially? Why is it that I am going through this particular challenge? We often ask why. Some people give up. They're not able to cope with the challenges that they face. And we often tend to forget those who came before us. We tend to forget the examples that the Quran gives us and history gives us of those magnificent men and women who came before us, hundreds, thousands of years before us, and the trials and the challenges that they faced in their lives. And so the question that we have to ask is, what kept these people going? When Maryam alayhi salam was tried, when she was tested, with her honor, with her dignity, with her reputation, what kept her going? What allowed her to stand strong and not fall? What allowed Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam to continue praising God despite all of the challenges and the difficulties that he faced? What kept Nuh persisting for over 950 years? What is it? What is it that kept these and other people going? And the simple answer is that these individuals had strong roots. They had strong foundations that allowed them to weather the various storms and challenges that they face. Because when we have strong roots and strong foundations, we are able to stand up. We're not knocked over easily. We might shake a little bit here and there, but we don't come tumbling down. We don't fall over. And this is what the Quran gives us. This is the example that the Quran gives us. God says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً. Do you not see how God has set forth a parable of a good word? It is like a good tree. And then God says, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. The good tree is the one that has strong roots, strong foundations, and it has leaves and branches out in the sky. It's strong not only in its vertical, you know, upwards movement, right? And its produce upwards, but what makes it strong is the roots. Usually when we look at a tree, we only see the apparent, we only see the outside. We don't see what's underneath the dirt. It is the roots and the foundations that make a tree stand strong. And those who came before us, they were able to stand strong, not to be knocked over, not to fall over, to be able to continue to persist, because they had strong roots and strong foundations. Each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, is on a lifelong journey of struggle. The Quran tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. O human being, you are laboring towards God laboriously. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You are laboring, you are struggling towards God with struggle upon struggle, laboriously. فَمُلَاقِيهِ. And at the end, you will meet your Lord. And thus our lives, our journeys, they are lifelong journeys of struggle, continuing to struggle and to labor day in and day out until we reach our final destination, until we are united with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until we meet our Lord. And there's no shortcut, brothers and sisters. There's no shortcut. There's no easy way out. A lot of times, a lot of people who are struggling with difficulties, they come to me and they say, Sayyid, find me a way so that I can overcome my problems. So that I don't have problems anymore. I want a life that is problem-free. Of course, we all want lives that are problem-free. But that's not the reality of life. The reality of life, as history tells us, since recorded history, reality of life for people, for individuals and communities is not that they live without problems and without challenges and without difficulties, but that they are able to withstand, to overcome these challenges. There's no easy way out, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we assume that attaining righteousness or that being patient is something that arrives quickly. I'm reminded of the time the person stood before Allah and he prayed diligently. He said, Oh Allah, please, I pray that you grant me patience and I want you to grant it to me now. Patience, humility, perseverance, generosity, these things require practice. They require active development. You know, if you read about philosophy, the development of philosophy, they tell you that ancient philosophy was not just this issue of speaking about abstract issues. If you study modern philosophy, people are always debating about things. You sit in a philosophy class and everyone is debating and you never arrive at a conclusion because the debate revolves around abstract issues. But if you read about ancient philosophy, they tell you that ancient philosophy was not just about debating abstract issues. It was acting philosophically, being philosophically. And that meant that it was not just words that you spoke about, but even in your virtues, even in your action, your character, the way that you conducted yourself was virtuous. It wasn't just speaking about what it means to be good or what it means to be just or virtuous, but that you acted virtuously. And that's what it meant to be a true philosopher. And as such, brothers and sisters, this is something that we have to remind ourselves. Roots require constant nourishment. They need to be nourished so that they can grow strong. For us to be able to develop virtues of humility or patience that allows us to overcome the difficulties that we face, or generosity, or any of these other virtues, for us to be able to develop them, we have to actively develop them. We have to work on them. We can't be patient if we're never tested and tried. Can't express patience. You can't express generosity if you never actually give. You're not called generous if you, every time you have an opportunity to help someone or to give to someone, you avoid giving. You're not generous. You're generous when you actively give. You are humble when you actively present yourself in humility. You are not arrogant. You avoid arrogance and pride. And the same goes for other virtues. Because without these, brothers and sisters, we are prone to quickly falling over. If I don't develop integrity and honesty in my life and in the character of my children and family members, then when I'm tested, I may fall. If I don't develop generosity, if I do not develop humility, if I don't develop patience, then when I'm tested, I may fall. I may not be able to stand strong and continue to move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. O you who believe, seek aid with as-sabr, patience, and salah. Salah meaning prayer, not mosalah, huh? Seek patience, seek aid with patience, bil-sabri, wa-salah. Meaning that you actively have to be patient. You actively pray. You engage in prayer. At all times, in all places, prayer and patience act as an aid for us, assistance for us in order to overcome our difficulties. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during what is left of this holy month of Ramadan to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We pray to Allah to bestow His peace and blessings, His compassion and mercy upon those who are suffering, those who are ill, those who are living in poverty and war and destruction around the world. We pray to Allah to bestow His peace upon those who are sick. Many people are ill in our communities and in different places, in different societies, different communities, in different places around the world. We pray to Allah during these blessed days and nights to bless them, to give them a full and speedy recovery. We pray to Allah to bless the souls of those who have passed away from amongst our family members and friends and those who have gathered here tonight and those who are watching and all around the world, the believing men and the believing women, men and women around the world. We pray that Allah bestows their souls with peace. وَإِلَىٰ أَرْوَاحِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ نُهْدِي جَمِيعًا ثَوَابَ سُورَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ مَعَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ